So I'd like to introduce to the show Vinnie Eastwood. Thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Great. Now, we were talking before the break. I asked you, I was being kind of cocky, and I was saying that I think that California probably has way better weed than New Zealand, but because we're very proud of our marijuana here in the Humboldt area.
The best kind of weed is the weed that you can actually get your bloody hands on, all right? And so at the moment in New Zealand, it's illegal, and there's a dope drought as well. So everybody knows doesn't have anything. So at times like these, you know, I suffer, you know, but most of my cognition in terms of, you know, the broader sense is going to all the people that have medical conditions in New Zealand that now can't get their cannabis at all. And their suffering's far worse than mine. You know, I've got trauma and so on and so forth. You know, I can live. I'm not going to die. It doesn't make it harder to get to the kitchen. I can drink a cup of coffee without my hand shaking and it spilling all over me like it does to those who have Parkinson's that they treat with cannabis. But I think it's really, really sad because at the moment we've just had a new prime minister be elected, and she's saying, I don't want people to go to jail for cannabis, right? Now, that may sound good, but when you look at it, and in the article they've got the statistics, guess how many people are actually jailed for just using cannabis? Only 23 per year. Right? So she's saying, I want an infinitesimal amount of people to not get that particular sentence and that kind of thing, right? What sounds good is actually just weasel words and that kind of thing. Now, what they've also said is, in the next 100 days, medical cannabis is going to be legalized. Well, guess what's been happening? The police have been targeting the so-called New Zealand's green fairies who are growing cannabis specifically to supply to medical patients and, in fact, giving it away at no profit. They're specifically being targeted now by police as organized crime, all right, and being charged. And also just today, article came in, the New Zealand posties, you know, diligent posties, on the other hand, have now linked some kind of guy who was like sending cannabis to medical patients through the post. And so they've now closed him off thanks to their diligence. It's like, good on you, posties. Just people are now suffering and dying because of you. Just Give them a slow clap, ladies and gentlemen. Golf clap, maybe. All right. It's just the prejudice, the stupidity, the weasel words. These are things that are not motivating me in terms of, you know, we've got more liberal cannabis than ever before. Every single time I see that happen, it's like, what was the most recent good news? Oh, you can now get medical cannabis. Big headline, right? Look into the fine print. What does that mean? Oh, it means that you can go and ask a doctor and the doctor doesn't have to say yes. And if he does say yes, it has to be prohibitively expensive from stuff that is grown and manufactured overseas where it's legal, which the doctor can't source because customs won't let him bring it in. Right? Big headline. Right. Medical cannabis now available.
It's available, but you can't get it, seems like.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been for the last 10 years.
Now let me get this right. So you have medical marijuana in New Zealand. Has that been passed in that country?
No, it's not been passed.
No, it's not passed. But people are doing, they're still healing each other with medical marijuana. Well,
you know, when Trump first came in, he goes, here's our 100-day plan. Well, our government came in and said, here's our 100-day plan. And medical cannabis available for the sickest and dyingest people was one of those plans. But, of course, they're not going to make it a priority. No. They'd rather do the roads and stuff like that during Christmas when those roading projects won't get done and allow all those medical patients to suffer and die over the Christmas period and affect the lives of their loved ones with their suffering and their dying during that period as well. You know, that's the priority of the government, as far as I'm concerned right now.
Right. So did this change just happen with this new prime minister?
No.
It was already in place.
All right. And we have an interesting political situation here in New Zealand where this guy named Peter Dunne, for the last 10, for exactly the amount of time that I've been alive, Terry, he's been in Parliament blocking any and all cannabis law reform. Okay? Now, the recent election that only just got solved like a couple of weeks ago, he wasn't going to win his electorate that he'd won every single time. Right before that election, however, he said, I've now changed my opinion on cannabis laws and I'll lend my vote to it. And then he withdraws from the race so he can't lend his support to it.
Oh, no.
I love it. I love this catch.
That's not good.
Terry, you know what I'm talking about, right? Knowing reality and not being an idiot, it can actually be really quite depressing sometimes because you're not so full of hope.
Right. Yeah, it's, that's sad. I mean, no, is there, what overall, in terms of represent, like, no, in Parliament, other representatives that are there, are they behind marijuana use? I mean, is the state kind of, I mean, for example, United States, if you were to do a poll about whether or not most people in the United States think that marijuana should be legalized, I think we're rounding out like around, over 50% of the population
in New Zealand,
now
it's 65.
Pro legalization.
65% in New Zealand, according to official polling. According to unofficial polling, it's closer to 80%. There's one in five, between 10 and 20%. Recreational users, so that's between 1 in 10 and 1 in 5 users, which is the second highest per capita rate of cannabis use in the world, number one being Jamaica. New Zealand also is the second in the world for reggae appreciation, number one being Jamaica, so there's an interesting correlation there. And so we come in with this massive majority and cannabis becoming a platform for the very first time in my political memory, a actual campaign platform of the mainstream parties. Now, that was something that really filled Chris Fowley from Normal New Zealand. He's been fighting this drug war for 20 years here, and he owns the hemp store here in New Zealand. And he said that basically during this election, New Zealanders were spoiled for choice. There was so many parties that were offering so many good policies about cannabis that it was like a stoner's shooting gallery for voters out there, right? Even the most conservative parties were offering some kind of, we'll look at medicinal and things like that at the very least. Now, here's what's problematic, because after the results, you have maybe four parties that get in. Normally about maybe five, six parties, maybe with one member or whatever. Ours isn't like first past the post. It's called MMP, Mixed Member Proportional, which is a fancy way of saying everybody's got little parties, and if you get over 5%, you get in. Or if you win the seat in the region that you're running, you know, against all the other candidates or whatever, you get in too. So what that means is that everybody who voted for a party that didn't wind up getting the 5% and everybody who voted for a candidate that didn't wind up winning their seat, their votes automatically cascade down and get divided up into percentages and given to the winners. All right? It's what's called an elected dictatorship. And we've got this Bill of Rights, which is quite interesting because we've also got another statute in our law that no government can bind any future government. So it means you can't say, no, the government's not allowed to just exterminate and lie to its people or something like that, because the next government can just pass a law. And we've got retroactive law changes now. So you can go and you can commit a crime as a member of the New Zealand government and then pass a law later retroactively making your crimes legal, so that any prosecutions and things of that nature that are coming towards you for, say, crimes against humanity for keeping illegal cannabis for like the last 32 years of your political career, for example, become null and void. I love it. However, a lot of positivity came out of this election. Positive thoughts, maybe, but so here's the news. the Prime Minister came out and said on television that I don't think anybody should go to jail for smoking cannabis. Their parties out of their maybe first 10 priorities in the first 100 days in Parliament is to have medical cannabis for sick and dying patients and people with chronic illnesses and things of that nature. There's also been, according to the Green Party, a referendum, which I'm terming a referendum, on the issue of legalising cannabis for recreational use and all uses, etc. Now, that, however, is going to be delayed until 2020. Right? That's what they say. It'll be done at least by 2020, which is weasel words of saying we're going to delay it for as long as we humanly can and maybe not even 2020 and so on and so forth. And the best part about this referendum that's going to be 3 years too late for the people who are going to die tomorrow from preventable and curable diseases is a non-binding referendum. So you could just, the government could just go, nah. but an even worse case, they are going to take that entire time to come up with the question. What's going to be the question of the referendum? Should cannabis be legalized? You know, or something really simple like that? Or is it going to be a really confusing, really strangely worded question that the average person will look at and go, I don't, a yes or a no, I want legal cannabis, but what is this question actually asking me? One of those weasel things or whatever. These are the things that are going through my mind as somebody who looks at, you know, reality! Unlike all of the rest of the people who seem to be like just jumping on this hope boat, you know, like, oh, it's going to be great. We're going to have cannabis everywhere. It's like, dude, have you got any cannabis right now? No, I can't find any. Really? Isn't that interesting? How all the people that now all of a sudden are looking like, it's going to be legal. Are the people getting busted and suddenly can't find any?
So what, why is it, I mean, is it a drought? I mean, why do you have such a low production of
it's an annual drought. So during the off season, like during the summers when the cannabis is growing, that would be November, December, January. These are the sunniest months in New Zealand because we're on the opposite side of the globe. Our summers and winters are reversed. So that's when all the cannabis grows. And then, during the early parts in the autumn, that's when all the cannabis gets harvested. And this is all the outdoor cannabis, mind you. Indoor goes all year round, usually on about 6 week cycles. A lot of the growers have got going. But that means that all that outdoor cannabis, which is probably the majority of what New Zealanders and, say, rural New Zealand smoke, dries up. That huge supply that was readily available throughout the winter and maybe most of the spring the following year is almost completely dried up, and now the only thing that is actually left for anybody to go and smoke and buy would be the indoor grows, and they're usually done by small operations, mum and dad. It's a very much cottage industry here in New Zealand. So as a result, all the people that are normally living in the cities who normally smoke that all year round can't find any either. And it's a terrible time of year because it's when Christmas is, and it's when all the music festivals are and that kind of thing. And the year after year, and this is the, It's funny, the last 3 years in a row have been the worst dope droughts I've ever seen consecutively. Like 3 years ago was the third worst one, last year was the second worst one, and this year's the worst so far.
That's awful. That's I feel for you. I don't think any country should be going without cannabis. We need it. I mean, obviously, I'm preaching to the choir, but to my understanding, New Zealand has been one of the most backward countries in terms of marijuana. Your laws are comparable to our laws back in the 1980s in the United States. Is that true?
Well, I'm happy to reassure you that it's a lot worse than you can possibly imagine. We spend more per capita busting people for cannabis and prosecuting people for cannabis than any other country in the world. We jail more people for cannabis than any other country in the world. On average, a New Zealander is arrested every 30 minutes for some kind of cannabis charge. And we're a country of like less, about 4 million-ish people, right? That's the size of an average city in the States, right? and it's just completely out of control. We spend $400 million per year conservatively just enforcing the drug laws, right? And it's again, a very conservative, $1 billion black market. And it's probably more like a $4 to $5, maybe even $10 billion black market, because obviously it's very difficult to tax a black market. So you're looking at maybe saving $400 million for the country per year, every year, the second you legalize cannabis. You're looking, and that's, spread across a country of 4 million people. You know, that's a huge burden that's been released from the country. And not to mention the police, right? When the drugs are illegal, people don't trust the police, okay, because the police enforce laws that they know to be wrong, and they still enforce those laws anyway. And so people, wisely, develop a hatred and a distrust and a fear of the police. This is not a stupid thing to do. This is the smartest thing that anybody should ever be taught. Are there cops around? Yes. You need to be afraid. You need to act really, really nicely. And you need to not be stupid or try to run. All right? Why was the Bad Boy song such a hit? Because he says, when you get popped, then you must stay cool.
And that's true. It seems like, I mean, even in the United States, marijuana charges are used on people when they're trying to incriminate you. It's just so lame. They could decide to push it or not push it. For example, you know, Corey Feldman, right? I mean, he's been coming out and saying that he's going to name names on the pedophilia in Hollywood. And then, of course, you know, he gets busted for marijuana right around the same time in Tennessee. So, and again, that's a state that obviously isn't as progressive, but it just seems like marijuana is one of those kind of laws where, yeah, they're probably not going to pay any attention to it, or you know, it's no big deal. I mean, right now, in California, it's just a misdemeanor. It's not a big deal. It's $100 fine. But, you know, if they want to come after you and you are in, you know, the state that you're vulnerable in, or even in California, they could still write a ticket for you. They can still come at you if you don't do things right, use it against you. It does give you a certain vulnerability, in terms of sometimes jobs and other things, you know, where you have to be drug tested or whatever. But, I don't know. It just seems like marijuana is one of those things that if they want to politically take you down or slow you down, then they use it. Yeah, they use it on people.
Yeah, they use that. They use any number of techniques, you know, like if you did a spelling mistake in your taxes that you filed 6.5 years ago or something like that. Ah, we got him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if they don't have anything on you, they just make it up. Like the problem with people who follow rules and have a conscience is they don't realize that they're up against people who don't follow rules, who don't have a conscience, and literally just make shit up as they go.
Well, marijuana is kind of an interesting plant, and the laws are, in a way, they try to say, well, this is your character. Like, oh, this person, well, they smoke marijuana. They broke the law to smoke marijuana. Wow, that must really mean something. It does mean something in the sense that most of us who are smoking it, are breaking the law to do it, think that the law is bogus. Otherwise, why would we be doing it?
I mean, correction, you know, there, Terry. We don't think the law's bogus.
We know the law's bogus. You're right. We don't think it. We know it. Therefore, we smoke it.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I said before the show, is that people who don't know anything about a topic assume that they do, right? There's an actual inverse relationship. Literally, the less you know about something, the more you think you know. Like, I know a lot about the cannabis laws, for example, and I think that I know very little about it, because over the 10 years that I've been studying it rather intensely, and doing tests in my own lab at home, I've found out that there's a lot of things that I do not know, and are constantly finding new discoveries and things of that nature. Like just the other day, I found out that the endocannabinoid system can be activated by one of 20 compounds that exist in ordinary cannabis. Right? We've been thinking about THC and CBD, the cannabidiol and tetrahydrocannabidiol, but there's actually like 18 others. Did you know that? And we haven't even looked into what those ones can do when they're extracted. And there's all these different strains that are what they're called land strains, like strains of cannabis that grow in specific areas of land under specific conditions around the world. African strains, Himalayan strains, Chinese strains, Filipino strains, those kind of things that have climatized to their specific part of the world. And indeed, testing is now going on, discovering that each and every one of these particular strains affects medical diseases in different ways to other strains. And they're only just now figuring that out.
Isn't that amazing?
There is nothing but amazement on a day-to-day basis coming out of the cannabis research industry. Now think about this. PubMed, the most, you know, prestigious medical publication online in the world, right? Has an article per day on average since 1980, kind of dating back, about the endocannabinoid system alone, just the endocannabinoid system. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's essentially every single part of your body has a little receptor on it that's a cannabinoid receptor. Every single part, whether it's your eyes, your blood cells, liver cells, whatever, they've all got those receptors. And the cannabinoids help to regulate everything in the body. So your cell will go, hey, Mr. Cannabinoid Molecule, I need some magnesium or some zinc or something to help me with my glaucoma. And the cannabinoid molecule goes, well, allow me to rearrange myself and insert myself into you. And the symptoms are relieved.
Yeah, it's amazing. When you really think about it, it's a miracle plant, and to think that it's been denied to us all over the world, I mean, is unbelievable. It really makes you wonder: has part of the genocide on the human race started with making marijuana illegal, because they're taking away something that, what, every single cell in your body can benefit from if you're to consume it? It's unbelievable. Oh, that's the one thing that you can't be smoking. And that's the one plant that now, because they have no choice, because everybody's smart enough now to realize that, hey, you know what? I smoke it. I feel better. This is a medicine. Now we're at the point where it's like, oh, look, my cancer's going away because I'm using the oil. I'm having an extended life. And, you know, I think it's one of the biggest lies that the powers that be have ever pulled, you know, told any one of us.
Yeah.
My opinion.
The biggest trick the devil's weed ever pulled was convincing the world that it was bad for you.
Right. It's like, this is bad. And you know, I almost wonder if it's something psychological. You know, when somebody tells you that you can't have something and then it's bad for you, don't you always want to do it? It's like,
here's the beauty of it.
Let me figure that out. What?
Well, the beauty of it is that you can tell that to the public at large, and the public at large don't know that you've got interest in private prisons and militarization of police, and they want you to break the law so that they have a justification and excuse to arm up and turn everybody into slaves with no rights.
Yeah.
You know, which is the ideal.
Yeah, and then not to mention what marijuana does to your consciousness. I mean, look, you can smoke weed and go, oh, wait a second, it's all bullshit. Wait, oh, wow, I never looked at it that way. I mean, it does something to the way you think.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Bob Melamed, I think
that's the threatening aspect to it, too.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Bob Melamed has been talking about, the how cannabis regulates open-mindedness specifically, and he finds that a lot of people that look open and act close-minded, it turns out that they're actually cannabinoid deficient. It's like the old adage, bro, you need to smoke a joint and stop taking yourself too seriously, is actually now becoming so solid in its logic that I believe it's on par with medical advice. Smoke a joint. Don't take yourself so seriously. You'll live longer. You know, you'll stop being a dick for at least the 45 minutes while you're stoned. And then maybe you should have another toke after that so that you can continue not being a dick. You know, just a suggestion. I'm not going to force you to do it. Although I do believe, as Bill Hicks said, it should be mandatory.
It should be mandatory. Because it does help you from not being a dick. That's for sure. I mean, it will. I think marriages will last longer if you make sure that you give your woman some weed during that time of the month.
And
seriously.
And so will copulation.
Right.
It will last much longer. Now, the other element here to really take into account is, although it affects everything, the one thing that people don't really take into account is the fact that it's a triple industry. It's a recreational, medical, everybody talks about those, but what people don't talk about is the industrial hemp industry. The reason why that is because the recreational industry can challenge tobacco, it can challenge coffee, it can challenge alcohol, these other legal substances. That may be true. And although medical substances can take out, you know, basically the entire pharmaceutical industry, the $1 trillion pharmaceutical industry, overnight, because they're scumbags. But the industrial benefits of hemp mean that in many cases, farming, mining, fishing, energy production, and innumerable industries, 50,000 different industrial products can be made from hemp, much better than the conventional methods that we're using to produce them today. So essentially, industrial hemp can change absolutely everything about everything. Okay, if you have hemp that's 12 times stronger than steel and 1/6 the weight, and you build those cars out of that, how often are you going to have people that die in car accidents when their cars harmlessly bounce off each other like they're dodgems at the state fair? You know, how many people are going to worry about whether or not their house is going to crush down on them during a major earthquake, when not only can it float and is virtually indestructible, but is perfectly insulated, so even if it was freezing, you wouldn't even feel the cold without even needing heating? Right? All of these things, this is just a fraction of the potential of it. And one of the brilliant realizations I had the other day was an idea. 3D printing and cannabis. Right? Oh, yeah, see? That suddenly hits you right there. Whoa, you can make anything out of cannabis, and you can send the specs from anything via the internet and through a 3D printer. You can make anywhere the manufacturing hub of the world like that. By legalizing and fully implementing industrial cannabis and 3D printing. And that way you wouldn't need separate manufacturing hubs for cars and toothbrushes and toilet paper and so on and so forth. You just have one giant warehouse full of weed and a printer and some dude on a laptop controlling it all. You're sussed, mate. And you get 3 crops a year. And you can grow, I think, what was it, 1 hectare of hemp? That's a 3-bedroom home.
It's really obvious that, I mean, the reason why I got so behind the plant is when you wake up and you realize the different applications that there are, you can make paper fiber fuel energy. You know, it's so multi-purpose that it puts a lot of the other industries completely out of business. That's the real threat to the cannabis plant. Not only was it good for our body, but it's actually, you know, when you hear me like, oh, global warming and this and that and all these different, you know, the TPP wanting to deal with it and all these, you know, climate change. Well, if we really wanted to do something about climate change, if we really wanted to do a complete change with the world, let's just use the hemp plant right there. We could be running our cars on it already. We could have done it. We wouldn't even be in the situation that we were in right now had they not made it illegal. And when you look at, The Illuminati, or if you want to call them the Illuminati, or the New World Order, or the people that are the people that we're fighting right now, it seems, or that we're up against, that are controlling the world, are the ones who made marijuana illegal in the first place. And then when you look at it from a global perspective, then it's the one you can trace it all together. It's not a conspiracy anymore. You can prove that none of this is a conspiracy, because marijuana is the concrete proof that everything we're exposing exists. It's connected to everything.
What do you call a human being that can grow something without any effort, that grows like a weed, that can produce anything and heal themselves from anything? You call that person independent and free. What are the two things that you're not allowed to be under a ruthless totalitarian shadow state?
Exactly. What are you allowed not to be?
You know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. So it gets kind of frustrating. I feel frustrated sometimes in the United States when, you know, it's the same conversation over and over again. You know, it's Jack Hare's book, you know, over and over again. It's like, oh, paper, fiber, fuel, energy. Oh, yes. Did you know that people, it's killing cancer cells? But then we look at our politicians here in the United States, you know, and they'll bring up the question of marijuana in a debate. And, you know, someone like Hillary Clinton will say, oh, I think it needs some more testing. We really need to find out more about marijuana.
I mean, it's,
you know, well, it's like, bitch, how long do you have to wait?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. It's like we're already testing it. We already know what it is. Why are you acting like as if there hasn't even already been done a body of research without the FDA?
Yeah, well, the thing is, she's just lying and serving her corporate masters, and that's it. And people, you need to stop thinking like that, Terry. Stop thinking that these people have a conscience or a logical reason for doing it. Think that they're psychopaths and they have an evil reason for doing it. Does it suddenly make a lot more sense why she'd say something like that? Does it suddenly make a lot more sense why Andrew Little, who's the Labour Party, like second in command or whatever, who just, you know, got elected in New Zealand Parliament, said, oh, I'm worried about the potential cost and side effects of if we legalised cannabis and allowed it available for medicine, things like that. Same weasel words, doesn't matter which border, which country, these scumbags, the Freemasons, old boys, school tie network, they control it all. The Illuminati figured out a long, long time ago that if you want to control society, find the well-bred families with the exceptional children and then give them scholarships and then send them overseas for internationalist training. And that way, when they come back, they'll wind up in charge. And guess who received a Masonic scholarship? Our new Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. And where does she go directly after that? Overseas to the UK for internationalist training, working for the Better Business Bureau that was trying to cut red tape for businesses in the EU while strangling small businesses with it. And then she came back to New Zealand and became the, I think, mentored by members of Parliamentarians for Global Action, which you have to pay $10,000 by credit card to be a member of, and you have to be a member of Parliament, where you go around the world taking all these conferences in internationalism and globalism. And now she's Prime Minister. And guess who the last Prime Minister was? John Key, who got a Masonic scholarship, went overseas in the banking sector, got internationalist training at Harvard, and then came back to New Zealand and became Prime Minister. Anything ringing a bell? These people are just like straight in there, like, come on, bro. It's right there. I mean, these are things that me and journalist Ben Vidgen frickin' Googled. We spent 5 minutes Googling keywords and just came up with this shit. They don't even try to hide it, is the thing.
No.
But we don't want to look. And darkness will always be in the places where light has not shone.
Yes. I'm looking at your picture here on the Skype, and I love that. I love the marijuana leaf you have over your chest on your photo.
I'm Captain Aotearoa.
It's a great leaf, isn't it? It's beautiful. I think it's a beautiful leaf.
Well,
so distinctive.
Yeah, especially what the leaf implies.
Right.
Well, and another thing, I was just thinking about this DNA goes around in a coil, and it's got some kind of meaning, like how an aerial goes in a coil. So your DNA is like an antenna. You can pick up messages and things like that. And I wondered, Is there some kind of mathematical or fractal nature to the cannabis plant as well? Like, is there a reason for that shape? Is there some kind of geometric pattern that gets fulfilled when the cannabis leaf reaches the shape that it does, that in some way channels the energy of the universe into this joint that I'm smoking right here? You know, like those thoughts occur to me sometimes.
So you were able to score one? You were able to score one in your dry area?
No, I'm a perfectly law-abiding citizen. I don't do that.
Shoot, I should probably like put something in my pipe. I've got some homegrown right now. A friend of mine made, and so I got a little bit of a gift, you know.
Yeah. But I make no idle boast that I can't find any right now. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this and you got some, there are ways to contact the VinnieEastwoodShow.com contact page and I will diligently answer your emails.
You're like screw Bitcoin, right? give me some weed.
Well, there was another thing. You know how there's Patreon where people give you dollars to make your artwork and things like that? What about Dopetreon where people send you weed so that you continue to make your artwork?
Yeah, why not? Hey, if somebody wants to contribute, in cannabis a little bit to keep you going, because honestly, it does keep you creative. It does keep you centered. It keeps you healthy and balanced. Yeah, I love it for creativity.
And also, if you don't have any, your life is instead filled with the stress of not having any and knowing and worrying about where to get some and there's no surety of supply and things of that nature, right? And it's like, oh my God. All of those things could be gone if cannabis were legal tomorrow, right? And people talk about this whole thing, oh, you're going to be scared. It's not a silver bullet, Vinny. It's not a silver bullet, really. Something that's been used for 10,000 years that virtually every founding father grew that even the ancient Egyptians knew was good for you is currently illegal, and you're saying that making it legal won't make any difference?
Oh, well, yeah, it will. It will. There's a lot to be done. I'm curious to find, okay, let's say when you're, cause your country will, it's all going to evolve. Marijuana is going to be on the table. It will be part of our global economy. I mean, it is going to happen. All right. I now in the United States, it's not like I'm arguing, oh, we need legalization. We need legalization. It's like, well, who's going to control it under the legalization?
Well, the U.S. government has patents on it.
I don't know if you know about this, Vinny, but in the United States, every single initiative that's been passed, medical or recreational, has been funded by George Soros here in the United States. It's been backed by George Soros.
Well, guess why? Because the United States government has a patent on cannabis and its medical benefits, right? They're not going to legalize it in terms of everybody now has independence and they can grow whatever they want. They're going to regulate it, which means they get to control it, they get to own it, and they're the ones who get to directly profit from it forever, all right? Now, it's specifically registered in the patent office that you can't patent life, okay? You can't patent life, all right? So otherwise, I could patent Terry Joyce, and then everything Terry Joyce creates or does anything like that would be my property, you know, the property of Guerrilla Media Limited or whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just slavery, you know, technically. And you can't enslave a species of plant, you know, like, this species of plant is mine!
Yeah. I'm God. It's mine.
Well, and if you know that these people are psychopaths who actually do think that they're God, makes a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I love the whole arguments of Christians going, oh, God wouldn't want cannabis. Who do you think created it? Who do you think put it here?
It comes from God. Some people think that cannabis is actually an extraterrestrial plant, that it was brought here from another extraterrestrial civilization. There's a whole theory on that. The Dogon tribe. Have you heard that before?
No, Dogon it, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, I love it when I have something new because I'm not sure. A lot of people, some people know, some people don't know. It's the Dogon tribe. Was one who, you know, and apparently, I think the DNA or something goes in the opposite direction. There's something that's in the opposite direction. I think it's the DNA coil or that is not indicative to most plants. Indicative to most plants.
Well, think about this. Speaking of indicative, you can tell the difference between a man and a woman because one of them's got an indication and the other one doesn't. But the thing is, when you're looking at two different cannabis plants, one's male, one female, you can actually tell that they're different by looking at them. Now look at an oak tree. Is it male or female? So you can't tell, right? It's the only plant on earth that's distinctively male and female. Interesting, right? So that means that lends credence to my mind that it ain't from here. And in either case, NASA already discovered a planet that's covered in weed. So obviously, and why'd it come from there?
Let's go find that planet.
I mean, bugger finding it. You know, it's already there. You know, we found it. We just can't get there. But what we can do is we can turn New Zealand and or the entire planet Earth into a planet of weed. You know, like, what could possibly go wrong if you've got a planet covered in weed? Somebody's sick. Here's a cure. Somebody doesn't have a house. Here's your house. Somebody needs to write something down on a piece of paper. Here's your paper. You know, whatever it is. Somebody's naked. Here's a shirt. It's just that freaking simple. Execute all the criminal bankers and legalize weed. Okay, that's Vinny's two solutions for a free humanity.
It's that simple, though, isn't it?
You know, it's a perfect circle.
Yeah. It sounds good to me.
You know, things could be worse, you know. A world without criminal bankers and without any illegal substances that people can be busted for even though they're not hurting anybody. Yes, Vinny, that's what I'm proposing. You know, this doesn't sound like the worst idea I've ever heard. Might work out, actually.
So are you now, in terms of what's going on with New Zealand, are you involved with any, aren't you involved with an organization? You're active in this yourself.
Yeah, well, the Aotearoa Legalized Cannabis Party came to me maybe a couple of weeks before the election, and they just had a whole bunch of their party members hijacked by this thing called the Top Party, who was done by this illuminist named Gareth Morgan, who put $5 million of his own money. Our advertising budget was $250. but we had Vinnie Eastwood, so put up a whole bunch of doing logo redesigns, made some banners up, dozens and dozens of videos, and beautiful lots of posts, hundreds of thousands of hits, and at the end of the election, we got more votes than any of the smaller parties, and that was quite an achievement, really. In and of itself, considering I had maybe like 1 to 2 weeks to prepare for election, you're supposed to have 6 months. And we still did better than all the other parties, you know.
Wow.
and I think that's maybe due to the fact that cannabis is just a big core issue for a lot of Kiwis, and there's a lot of basically people like me, the poor, the oppressed, the people who have actually seen some shit and have had some shit happen to them, will vote for something like the Legalized Cannabis Party. I mean, that's why I got involved with it 10 years ago. I mean, I've been doing my own thing, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, in the interim, which is, you know, cannabis is always been a part of my cause. I mean, look at my moniker. It's a Captain America-esque looking Vinnie Eastwood with a giant dope symbol on my chest there, Captain Aotearoa. You know, that's how you pronounce New Zealand in Maori, Aotearoa, the land of the long white cloud. It says. and that's why it's the Aotearoa Legalized Cannabis Party, and I'm trying to help them out. We're going to be doing an annual general meeting and things like that, but, you know, it's just when you're been a party for 21 years as these guys have. They've got into a few habits and things like that, and I want to really help them generate some energy and some real hope and some vibrance and vitality, some color and some real fun into the party's image. Because at the moment, it's just like most of the people, when our campaigners are going out trying to get votes, they confuse us for the Green Party. So I was just like, you know what? Let's not make our color green anymore. Let's make it red and yellow and green, the Rasta colors. There's no way that anybody's going to confuse us with any other party from that point on, bro.
Right.
Especially with an enormous hooch leaf on the logo, you know, just for extra emphasis. But, yeah, that's what they've been doing now, has been trying to contact the parties that are now the government-esque, which would be the New Zealand First Party, headed by Winston Peters, and the Labour Party, headed by Jacinda Ardern, and the Green Party, headed by James Shaw, who's a former PricewaterhouseCoopers banker. So, you know, I'm not overly, you know, plussed about the turnout of the government. You know, everybody goes, ah, oh, well, you're going to vote for the lesser of two evils or something like that, but that means you're still tantamount to supporting evil, bro. All right, and I think maybe that's why.
So you get the same excuse there that we do here, vote for the lesser of the two evils.
Well, it's a new world order after all. They use the same brainwashing right. techniques on everybody. I'm sure in Chinese it's the same saying or something. You know, the character for change is the character for more of the fucking same. Yeah. You know, You're gonna vote for the lesser of two warts on a toadstool's back or something. I don't know the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure that yeah. the same BS kind of, oh, let's put them all into little different camps and things like that. It's either right wing or left wing, but it's the same vulture that's picking our bones clean.
It's like, you're not voting for Jeffrey Dahmer, you're just voting for Roman Polanski. You know, it still sucks. Although, you know.
Yeah, rapist or murderer, rapist or murderer. I think I'd rather have the rape. I'm not sure. But... Will there be lube involved? I mean, like, one of them wants to screw you hard without lube, and the other will use lube, you know? And you go, oh, right, I suppose I'll go with that one. But the thing is, you never actually get satisfied at the end of said raping, you know? It's not like a relationship.
I'll take rape for 200, Alex. Oh, it's the Daily Double. All right.
Yeah, the Daily Double with a money shot at the end.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be on, Letterman later tonight. But the thing about New Zealand is that we are a very small country, and the thing about any place that's small is the mind, all right? The mind becomes small as long as your influences remain small as well. We're getting a lot of international influence in this country now. We're not, you know, isolated by any means. I mean, you and me are talking in real time right now, 10,000 kilometers away.
Yeah. Another day. Are you a day ahead of me right now? Like, yeah, we're not even the same day right now.
It's already tomorrow, Terry.
Yeah, I know. It's already. I'm already talking to tomorrow. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay, Skype.
That's why they shot the movie Tomorrowland in New Zealand, so they could save on the production costs. I just made that up. That was just complete bullshit there. It's pretty clever though, wasn't it? Anyway, again, back to the New Zealand, the small-mindedness here. You still have people going, oh, cannabis is dangerous. Oh, cannabis is the worst or whatever. That bull-headed ignorance of alcoholics mostly. It's just not there, you know.
Right. You know, alcoholics.
It's always the alcoholics, right? Because they're like, oh, marijuana is a gateway drug. Really? By chance, that's the first time you ever tried marijuana was when you were drunk? Guess which the gateway drug actually is, bro.
Right. Yeah.
There's no point to it. It's just denial. They don't have any enlightenment upcoming. You know, it's like, hey, today's news, you're going to actually learn something. That's not part of this sphere of influence, you see. It's like, we're going to learn something. Ah, no, I'm going to turn up. I'm going to need another drink or whatever. Why? Is that because you're really depressed about the fact that you got no power and you're working for people that you hate, doing a job that doesn't inspire you creatively whatsoever and makes you want to kill yourself, but instead of killing yourself, you'd rather have a drink first? Is that what's going on here, bro? Well, now that you put too fine a point on it, it's just, if you've got no fruitful for life, what are you getting out of bed for in the morning? Most of the people, they get out of bed in the morning because a clock alarm told them to. it's your deeper purpose. Like, it's my destiny. Like you're in Psycho or something. Okay, just there's no purpose to life if you don't have weed, because weed helps you to slow down and figure out that there is no purpose in the first place. And only once you come to that realization will you start looking for a purpose. Damn it.
All right, so Vinny, are you coming into a new time slot here on the network? I thought I heard Danny saying something that you're gonna be coming on. Are you coming on right after my show?
Right after your show, like tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right, you're coming on after my show tomorrow.
That's assuming exciting, you're even doing a show
which
tomorrow.
Which is like gonna happen here in just a few minutes. Are you coming on like right after me right now?
No. I mean like tomorrow. You're tomorrow. I'm already in tomorrow.
Oh, my you know? Real tomorrow.
Yes, it's my yesterday. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's your tomorrow. It's my yesterday. Okay. See, it's really easy to figure out, you know, like.
I should go to New Zealand and go to Tomorrowland and find out what happens. Okay. No, we don't have a whole lot of time left, and I think we have 4 minutes left, but, there is something that's on my mind. It doesn't have to do with marijuana. I hope I don't shock you. You can go with me on this. Kim.com. I want to bring up to Kim.com for a moment because I noticed, in the AFR Skype that you have a different opinion about Kim.com than some of the people here in the United States do. He's not quite the hero, the WikiLeaks hero, I guess, over there.
Yeah, well, it's no different to all the rest of us. I mean, I'm not the hero some people think that I am because, again, going back to that phenomenon, the less you actually know about something, the more you think you know about something. All right, so Kim.com's just like every other human being, there's two sides to every story. Number one, yes he's absolutely a criminal. Yes, he absolutely pirated content onto his site and deliberately incentivized people to do that and break copyright laws. All right. Now that's still a civil prosecution. That doesn't mean you get raided by 19 cops and 2 helicopters the day after you showed a cop around your house who politely tapped and rapped you. All right. And showed him all your guns and your safe rooms and your computer rooms and all of that kind of stuff so that he could suss out your place and then bust you and then, shove a flashlight in your face while they're holding you in the cells all night long so that you don't have a good night's sleep when your hearing is the next day. Right. Trauma-based mind control. Anybody? They don't, you know, freeze all your assets and things like that and terrorize your family. Right. What happened to Kim.com was immoral and, in my opinion, illegal, right? Be that as it may, there's some things that, again, everybody does that ain't maybe as great as you think they are. The real reason why Kim.com busted wasn't because of, you know, him violating copyright. It was actually because of him creating Mega Upload, and bands like the Black Eyed Peas were signing up to Mega Upload because when they sold their albums, not only would they be able to tell for the first time ever in Hollywood history, how many albums they actually sold, how much they actually sold them for, and get a reasonable percentage back for the sales of said albums. First time that ever happened. What happens a few weeks later after that gets announced? Kim.com gets busted by Hollywood. He didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming, Ryan. Now, right after this, though, we've got what was called the Internet Party, which started up. And Kim.com was financing it, and then he went into a coalition deal with this guy named Hone Harawira, who's a Māori activist from the up north in New Zealand, right? And these two guys, you know, I had a lot of respect for them in a lot of ways. Had a number of interviews with Hone Harawira myself. But there was this thing about the moment of truth, okay, with Edward Snowden. Now, they had Edward Snowden on a live class. They had Glenn Greenwald there in the Auckland Town Hall. And unfortunately, what a lot of journalists for the country wanted to see was about what was happening with the state of surveillance in the world. But unfortunately, it came off as more about how that bad surveillance was used on Kim.com specifically. And then within the conference, they then give that information out. Now, New Zealanders are remarkably closed-minded and remarkably racist. So they went, nah, to hell with Kim.com, that fat German, I don't care about him or whatever. And so a whole bunch of people tuned out, especially when Edward Snowden was telling them about the Javelin program or whatever it was that New
Darn
Zealand
it, we're already... Vinny, we're at the end of the show, and I think that was a more than a 4 minute question, but I'd love to have you come back sometime in the future. It's great having you on the show today, and tune in to Vinny Eastwood from now on after me tomorrow after when the show happens. Oh, wait, you know what I'm talking about. Tomorrow, always tomorrow. Good night, everyone. Take care.